before you dismiss me. Put me back on the shelf. Yo, I didn't come from wealth, but I come with the stealth. Right in front of you, yet I'm so far from you. Know what I'm here to do. How about you? Clear path, never set. Made mistakes, no regrets. Move forward, learn from them. Did I mention they call me Jonathan? Well, day one for short, solo, solo tip, of course. Lone wolf, leader of the pack. Never looking back, can't fall on my lap. Cause I'm always stepping, always standing. Keep kicking, keep stacking. Never slacking, steady breaking, also breaking. Keep on taking, cause it's in my blood, man. I can't escape it. Manifestation, so I'm destined. First generation, Spanish conquistadores. You know that we're here for the
dólares, 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 dólares.
Representing the ghettos of the U.S. Dr. MC, J-U-S-T, get down to any harmony. Earthquake and plectonic shift, when we rock shit, the wordsmith. Dirty Dr. Strange, power on range, all like Solange. So we flow pack like jetpacks, bowls. Don't rap off any instrumentals. We fuck with slick beats, that's influential. Essentials, we got them. Figures up the grimy sound, profound lyrics deep like alpha sleep. Keep the sneak, happy treats, we create for roaming the streets. Experiment to snap back and fat cats and how we dwell in all I'm telling. My mentality, far from reality, Dr. Entity, searching for serenity through frequency. Bats communicating waves as we do. Vibrations out the 13th cave, God gave gifts, so I used to uplift.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Lem Me Know. I'm your host, Angel Lem. Today I'll be sitting with the homies of Just Us. They're a group based from the city of Wilmington. At least I think they're from Wilmington. I recorded in Long Beach, and I know Jonathan went to Narbonne. So let's just say they're from Wilmington, even though, whatever, guys. I'm sick. Yeah, as you probably could tell, or should be able to tell, I have the flu. So I'm going to try to keep it a little bit short, or shorter than as possible. I know I always say that and I still go on like for like 15 minutes, but I'm really going to try to keep it short because I don't want to breathe right into the mics and my nose is plugged. So, yeah. So I sat down with the homies from Just Us. I only recorded with Jonathan and Omar because Jordan had other responsibilities that he had to attend to, but we still kept them. We still talked a little bit about them, you know. But not too much because she needs to be there to be able to defend himself, you know, just in case we do say something. Yeah, it was a great episode. Like, I had lots of fun. At the end, I don't know if it gets awkward. I don't think it did. But, you know, we do mention the police. And I had to, like, you know, step in there a little bit because it felt to me like Jonathan made a blank statement, like a blanket statement. That I felt, you know, it wasn't all right. And then later on, he corrected himself. So I did that because at the end, I did that because they, I don't really agree that all cops are bad. They are there. There's always bad apples, you know, in the bunch. But I don't want to say that they all do bad things because I've had good cops, you know, and they've actually helped. And I'm sure that person is not bad. Or maybe at that moment he wasn't bad. I don't know. You don't really know what people go through. I do agree that some police do take advantage that they have that badge and the authority and abuse it. But, you know, you have that much responsibility. You know, sometimes it goes to your head if you don't know how to control it, I guess. Or, you know, yeah. So right now I'm working on getting somebody from Border Patrol because I feel it's a big issue, you know. DACA, it's a big issue, and yeah. So look out for that episode. I don't know when it's gonna come out. So far I'm still talking to them, seeing if they want to come on. But yeah, boy, enough of that. Well, yeah, so I talked to Jordan and Omar. They're two of the trio. They're deuce of the trio, I guess. They're two members of the group, Just Us. So we talk about how they started, about the first performance, the process of the music. So yeah, so basically we just get to know them a little bit. They're releasing their EP tomorrow, I believe. So go ahead and get that. On the episode, just heard Dólares. That's one of their songs from the album. And after this intro, you're gonna hear another song from the album. So this is just a little preview of what's in store when you get that album. I would say if, but I know you guys are gonna go catch that album, because I mean, it's great. I enjoyed it, and I know you guys will too. About me, what happened this week to me? Nothing much. You know, I recorded 2 episodes. I forgot to take a picture for one. I recorded one of the biggest fans of the podcast. Shout out to homegirl from Las Dos Albas. She paints, you know. So she actually won. She won the prizes a couple weeks back, and you know, I noticed that she had a lot of good things. She had she does some flower bases. She does loteria. The match boxes. So now make sure you go and find out more about her. Add her on Instagram. It's Las Dos Albas. What else? Oh yeah, and she's out this week. I believe she's gonna be taking part of Synesthesia's event. You know, every week, Liz from Synesthesia, she tries to throw an event for the community to be able to participate and pretty much get together and then bond with their families. So I believe she's gonna be taking part of this week. If I'm wrong, I do apologize. But make sure, I hope you guys are following Synesthesia's boutique. And I mean, that's the best way to find out if I'm full of shit or not. So yeah. I mean, that was pretty much it. Nothing really eventful. I'm really focusing on the podcast. So all the free time I do have, I'm devoting it, I'm finding ways to make the podcast a little better. But yeah, you know, like I said, I'm sick right now, so I really don't feel like doing anything. But you know, I felt that I had to do this. I had to do the intro because, I mean, I've done it for every other show, so it would be, you know, it would suck if I don't do it for this one. Yeah. So today's episode is sponsored by the homies of Synchronicity. Yeah. Stephen J is Filthy and Nor Thyselves are throwing an event this on November 5th. They're throwing an event where they're gonna have music performance, live painting, and art galleries. They're also gonna have some local vendors and a b-boy battle with a cash prize of $300. Make sure you attend this event. It's gonna be great. They're gonna have authentic Mexican food, courtesy of Asien Mariscos y Mas. So yeah, I mean, it's gonna be held in the city of Wilmington. Hopefully you heard Stephen J's episode. If not, just make sure after you listen to this one, make sure you go and listen to his episode, so you could talk a little bit more about Synchronicity. The whole idea of Synchronicity and what Synchronicity stands for. I don't think I could put it any better than that. Make sure you go follow his account. Make sure that way you know when he's gonna have other events. The homies over here from Just Us, they're gonna be participating in that event. They're gonna actually do a live performance. So I mean, this is just a little preview of what's in store for you guys when you guys attend that event. I'm gonna try. I'm not gonna promise you guys, but I'm gonna try to give Stephen J's Filthy some stickers. So if you guys are attending that event and you guys enjoy the podcast, I'm gonna send some stickers with Stephen J, and hopefully he's able to give them to you guys. And that way you kind of see that the podcast was heard. He didn't waste 2 hours or 3 hours of his day sitting down with me and just talking to me. He actually benefited from it. I don't know what just happened. I forgot the word benefit. Just make sure you attend his event. If you're a b-boy and you're interested in getting some money, those $300 are gonna come in handy, you know, and I'll help you with whatever, you know. We're all hurting for money sometimes, and I'm sure $300 is gonna help anything for any cost, you know. So yeah, I mean, I don't think I have any other news or events coming up. I'm grateful for the help you guys have been giving me, and everything that you have done for me. I really don't know how to, I don't know how to thank you. So I mean, the most I could do, all I could do is just tell you guys how much I appreciate the support you guys have given me. Make sure you go to Synesthesia Boutique and you go there and shop and participate in one of her weekly events. Because she's doing it for you guys. She's doing it so you guys have a safe place to hang out with your families and spend some time. Because nowadays it's crazy. We can't really, you know, there's not a lot of things we could do as a family. And this event really adds to it. And it gives you a chance and opportunity to you know, be able to share some experiences or catch up on the month, on the week, whatever, you know. I mean, it's a great event for children and couples. So hope you guys are able to attend. If not, at least go check out her shop and, you know, buy something, buy a dress, buy a shirt. A lot of the things she sells in the boutique, they're for women, but she does also have things for men, and she sells a lot of things from vendors or like independent artists. Like, she has handmade action figures, I guess, and she carries some of Las Dos Alvas products, their matchboxes, jewelry, their vases. I can't really think straight right now but she does have other people's works in there that she does sell for them to help them out, because you know, the more places you have your things, the better, I guess. Yeah. So yeah, guys, before I let you guys go and enjoy this episode, if you guys could please add me on Instagram, Facebook, subscribe to iTunes and Instagram. Maybe, you know, you are there already. So if you could leave a five star review, and might as well write some nice things about me or not. It's up to you, but just make sure you do. Rate 5 stars, give me 5 stars, that way the podcast could grow even more. I'm very thankful for everything, guys, I've done. Like I said, I never pictured myself having all these great opportunities and meeting all these great people, you know, just to be able to have an excuse, you know, to ask a bunch of questions and get to know them. It's great for me. So yeah, I'm gonna leave you guys with that. So if you guys could please subscribe, like I said, iTunes, Instagram, Facebook. If send me a message if you want to be a guest, if you know somebody that would benefit from getting a little exposure, a little promotion, you know, if you do music and you want to be featured somewhere on the episode, you know, make sure you send it to me at letmeknowpod@gmail.com. All right, guys, but that's it for me. I gotta tell you guys that I do love you guys, and I love the support you guys have given me, and if I could do anything for you guys, just let me know. I'll leave you with that, guys.
Wanna bust and give you some more. I got rhymes in my pocket for you. They kinda R-rated. Please don't judge me from the poem I created. Your complexion perfect, put together by a deep root. Your mind suits, let's knock knees. Excuse me, your eyes round and keep a lookout for me. You're the beat to my acapella. One solo now, just glad I met you. I know I get wild, relationships were my type. I'm the type of guy to watch documentaries all night and still learn nothing. I waste my times with you. Even in the months where the past won't fit you. Let me be your frog, kiss me and write about me in the diary. I know you dig the kid. Well, you didn't say your body already did. You make my heart dance, skip no beat.
She wanted me to dance, couldn't find my step. She was moving right, I was moving left. She wanted me to dance, I couldn't find my step. She was moving right, I was moving left. Wanna be a better man, wanna be a better dad. Heavy on my conscience, I hope you understand. Years working towards a goal, same routine takes a toll. Especially when it seems like I'm only getting old. 2 steps back, 1 step forward. Believe me when I say I can carry all this weight. What's best for you and me? The burden I create, simply if I go away. I know that you're worth it, I know you deserve it. I know I must preserve it, but I feel like I'm observing. From the outside in, that what's outside in. Blissful life full of sin, now how does this make sense? Traveling through space and time, our souls unravel as they intertwine. One goal and two minds, all love of the unforgiving kind. Growing pains as we pass through time. You're the reason to my rhyme, reason to my rhyme. She wanted me to dance, couldn't find my step. She was moving right, I was moving left. She wanted me to dance, I couldn't find my step. She was moving right, I was moving left.
What's up, guys? Welcome back. Today I'm sitting with Jonathan Omar from Just Us. They're here to promote their new album coming out October 26th, right? Yeah, so man, you know me, I already fucked up once before. This is the second try. You know, so yeah, so we're here to find out more about you. This is kind of like the interview before the real interviews, you know, before you go to Conan and all those big names, you know. It's cool, you know, I'm gonna try my best. Hopefully one day I'll be right there with them, you know. But now that's enough talking from me. Let's hear more about you guys, you know. So can you say your name, who you are? That way the listener could kind of associate the voice to the name.
My name is Jonathan, J1, one of three of Just Us.
Omar, 611, the producer, engineer for our here group.
Producer extraordinaire, does it all. Self-sufficient group.
Sorry, but before I go any further, I want to know about the name. Like, what's Just Us? Like, why did you choose that name?
Well, it originated with a line from Guru, from Gangstar, which is a pretty major influence for all of us. And there's a line where he says, "There is no justice, there is just us." And that resonated with all three of us. And, you know, we kind of been saying it, you know, it's just us, baby, it's just us, for years. And, you know, it finally came into fruition. I mean, we stuck with it, and here we are, it's just us.
Yeah, we added the X in the middle because there was somebody else using it, but we wanted to use it, so who cares?
That's your way of getting around it, right?
So yeah, he's a nobody, too. Yeah. I mean, he's only on Dr. Dre's album. Oh, I mean, okay. You know, he's a nobody.
All right. Yeah. So what's up? What's Organic Rap? Because, like, on your Instagram, that's where you guys describe yourself.
So Organic Hip Hop, I mean, the way we look at it is, I mean, in the true sense of the actual word, organic, you know, we don't try to fit into anything. We don't come in here and say this is the genre that we're gonna try to squeeze into. We come in the lab and one of us will come in with a drum beat in their head or with a line that they've been, you know, repeating over and over, or 611 will come in here and say, "Man, I've had this harmony in my head all day," and we'll start cooking and everything will happen organically. It's Sick is leading the way, and Jordan and I are kind of figuring out where we're going.
Since you mentioned Jordan, where the hell is he?
That motherfucker is at work, even though we planned this shit out weeks ago. But it's the world we live in. I mean, you gotta pay the bills, you know?
Yeah, I get it.
Slave life.
So, well, how long have you guys been a group? When did you guys start?
So, we don't have an actual date. The closest thing we have to a date is on the board back here. Which is April 1st, but that was just our first gig. That was literally our first gig. Shout outs to Know Thyself for putting us on stage, and that's the closest thing we have to a date. Jordan's my cousin. We've been rapping our whole lives, you know, from just being exposed to it from our older siblings. And 611, I mean, we grew up together. I know this guy since elementary, and same thing. You know, when we're skating, all of us would have our headphones on. We'd all be, "Oh, what are you listening to? You know, and it's always been a part of our lives. And music's either been coming in the ears or coming out of the mouth. We've always been trying to make it. I mean, from the day that we graduated high school, I mean, this guy went to Best Buy, he got his first MIDI. And, you know, for me and my cousin, every freaking family party, we're in the backyard rapping, you know? So
yeah.
We've never really kind of said, "All right, now we're going to do it." But it's just same thing. I mean, it kind of happened organically. We made Broken Spanish in my living room on an NFL Sunday. We're watching football. I put the TV on mute, and we're like, "Yo, I've been hearing this shit in my head all the time." I hit up 611. I'm like, "Dude, we need this thing mastered." And it just took off from there. We haven't been out of the studio since then. You know, anything to add to that?
Yeah, no, that's pretty much it. I think when he sent it to me, I was like, "Yo, this is actually good." Because a lot of the time you hear people and it's not a lot of, you know, it's not quality, or you don't see nothing there. It's like, yeah, it's whatever. You like, you know, you get the whatever reaction, you know, when you show people your music.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
"Oh, it's good.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah.
You know, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The reaction for me was like, "Wow, this is actually, like, there's something here, you know?"
Yeah.
So I ended up like, "Hey, man, if you guys need beats, I'd be happy to make some beats for you." They're like, "Well, why don't we just link up, start working?"
Yeah. Why the name 611 or what? I don't know what the hell you're saying.
Yeah, so I was trying to figure out what name I can pick that's just so weird that no one else would have it. And then I was like going through, I don't know what the name is, but like if you have a like simple seven or three tigers, right? Like two letters. I was like just running through words, six, six. Datsik is one of my, you know, biggest influence for EDM production. So I was like, oh, it's like an homage to Datsik. Okay. I was like, cool, I want to take Sick, and then something at the end. And 11 is like, it's like not a real number, but okay, yeah. The number 7 is a lucky number. So to me, it's like I make my own luck. I make my own number, all you know?
Right. All right. Yeah. That's cool. So 6-11?
6-11, yeah. Formerly DJ Subatomic back in his Santa Barbara days, DJing. And that's kind of the name that I remember him from. We had some old stuff on our SoundCloud, and it was, you know, the beginning of the song, I'm like, Subatomic, you know? Yeah. And yeah, when he came up with 6-11, I was like, that sounds great. I mean, it's, you Google that, you're going to be the only thing that comes up, you know?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that's all that matters, something that resonates.
Why did you start, like, doing this? Like, why did you do, like, hip-hop? Why did you choose to do hip-hop? Like, what got you into it, though? No, not Omar, Jonathan. Yeah. Because you're, like, you're the rapper, right? Like,
yeah, the artist, I'm MC? One of the MCs, me and my cousin. It's just, it's in my soul, man. I mean, as cheesy as that sounds, it's... It, I mean, you kind of can't choose to do hip-hop. Hip-hop just, you know, just lives through you. You know, I remember growing up, my brother always playing hip-hop. And, you know, he was a little bit on the gangster side. He was part of a clique and all that stuff. So he listened to a lot of gangster rap, Tupac, and you know, the cheesy stuff that is now classic today. But I kind of resonated with New York, East Coast hip-hop. And Wu-Tang, the day I heard 36 Chambers, man, that was... There was no turning back. I owned the complete discography from all members of the Wu-Tang within like 2 months.
What the hell?
And cool. I'm talking about hard copies, not no digital shit.
Yeah. I mean, back in the day, there wasn't digital
exactly.
shit.
Exactly. And, you know, Tribe Called Quest, I really got a lot of influence from them.
Why the East Coast? I mean,
it's where it originated. Okay. You know, it's the truest form of hip-hop. I mean, two turntables and an MC, you know? Now, that's... By far not what we are, but that's what inspired me to really stick to it and always writing in high school. I mean, I was in class writing lyrics or writing a poem to a chick or something. You know, I was always writing my essays. I was always, you know, that would always be chose to read them in front of the class because I was so into my writing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not gonna write a song. You know what I mean? I can't sing. So at the end of the day, what it turned into was bars. It just started spinning bars, started mastering my style, and like I said before, me and my cousin, every time we're together, we end up flowing some way or another. We're me and him freestyling, whether it's acapella or over some beat that we heard or, you know, something.
Yeah. That's cool. What about you, Omar? How did you get into all this?
Yeah, man, I've been doing music. You know, the funny thing is that the first time I ever touched an instrument, I was in third grade, and my boy was like, yo, we can skip class and go to this music thing for like an hour every day. I was like, yo, I'm down for that. I didn't even care what it was. I was like, let's go. So little did I know, it was like orchestra. Okay. So he went, you know, he was like, yo, I'm going to learn to play the clarinet. And I was like, yo, I'll play that too. But they were all out of clarinets because, you know, we grew up in the hood. So they don't got money for instruments.
Yeah.
They're like, all that's left is a trumpet. You know, like, dusty old trumpet. That's yours. So I got a trumpet. So I learned to play music very young, but you know, throughout my whole life, just been making music, guitar. I learned guitar, picked up guitar. I was a punk rock singer. I was in a punk rock band, lead singer of a punk rock band. And then when I got to college, I just got into the beat production, DJing. You know, that's really like where the hip hop really took off was college. I started listening to Mos Def, you know, Quali and Gangstar, you know, that stuff. So now we're here, you know, EDM. I produce EDM too. So like my range is everywhere, man.
Yeah,
like,
I could tell.
Yeah, from classical to, you know, the hardest hidden dubstep stuff, like everything.
So like, do you ever like play like your trumpet in the background one of their songs?
I can't play trumpet no more for
like,
sure.
You know who Aquid is? Like some Aquid shit in the back.
Yeah, maybe one day I'll learn again. I don't know.
All right. So like, who are your influences? Like, because he just mentioned Mos Def and Wu-Tang Clan. So who are some of your influences?
Yeah, I mean, on the hip-hop side, definitely Gangstar. When I heard Full Clip, it was like the first time. It was on a skateboard video, and it was on this guy, Josh Kalis, a skate park. So back in the day, it's like you got a lot of good music from the skateboard videos. And I heard Full Clip, and I was like, what the hell is this, man? And at the time, the only hip-hop I knew was like Snoop, you know, Eminem, like, you know, big stuff. But I had never heard nothing like that before. And I think from there, it was like, I wanted to learn how they did that. DJ Shadow, you know, shouts out to DJ Shadow. He does like instrumental hip hop. That's all it is, just like instrumental hip hop stuff with cuts and stuff. And that was actually, I want to give credit to him because of him, I was like, I want to make what DJ Shadow does. I want to do like hip hop instrumentals.
Yeah.
I didn't think about like starting a group. I didn't think about what I was doing with it. I just like, I felt like I needed to make it, you know?
Yeah.
Like I just have to make this, have to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, man, biggest influences, I would say, you know, but everybody from Kanye to Jay-Z and the EDM guy, Skrillex, you know, Deadmau5, you know, they're big, but at the time for me, they were impactful.
So like, why aren't you up with them? Like, why are you in the back, you know, putting the music together? Like, why aren't you in the front, like rapping with them or singing at least?
Well, I'll help write some of the lyrics.
Oh, okay.
They usually start off, but my flow, I got flow too, but I hate how my voice sounds, so I'm not going to be on there. I do get in here, like, you'll never hear it, it'll just be for me, but I'll get in here and be like, okay, there should be a 16-bar verse here, so then I'll spit a verse on it and be like, for an idea.
Yeah.
Like, cool, this is kind of what I'm thinking, you know? Yeah. And, yeah, man, that's about it. I feel more comfortable behind the board just creating the music.
Yeah.
And I've tried to get him in front of the mic too, and I, as soon as he gets in front of the mic, he starts getting self-conscious about it, and I've tried to get him in there, but we need him where he's at, though. I mean, if you listen to our music, it's so evident that we need all three components to make what we're making. I mean, we wouldn't be able to do it without Sick. We wouldn't be able to do it without Jordan's, you know, funky style and his funky rhymes, and it's just, we need all three components, and I feel like where we are, it's because we work together so well.
So is that all you listen to? Just like hip hop? That's the only thing that inspires you?
No, I mean, I listen to a lot of stuff. I mean, we have a Pink Floyd poster up right there. I've listened to their entire discography too. There was months where that was literally all I ever listened to was Pink Floyd, and that's the kind of music listener I am. I'll discover something and I'll just dive in completely. I'll go through the entire discography. And I've done that with Pink Floyd, you know, Metallica, Sabbath, you know, and with hip hop, it's a whole different thing because there's not that much hip hop out there, you know. It started in the late '80s, and it's like that early stuff I'm not really into. Jordan will sit here and tell you about all the '80s stuff, and I'm more of a '90s guy and early 2000s and. Even the new stuff. I mean, she'll catch me bumping some Gucci. You know what I mean? It goes hard, and credit where it's due. And as far as the EDM stuff goes, I'm not a huge fan, but I dig it. Tiesto got me through high school. I've always said that. If it wasn't for trance music in high school, I would have fucking, you know, been on the street.
Why? I don't get it. Why?
It focused me. I went to Norbonne for a year. And I was fucking up. I was throwing parties and doing the whole thing and had a crew and all this stuff. And I left Norbonne with like 5 credits or units or whatever the hell it is. Yeah. And the counselor said, you're not going to graduate. There's literally no way. So with that statement and with Tiesto in my ears, I got to Banning, 10th grade. I had a 3.8 until the day that I graduated. And I graduated. I did it. And Tiesto honestly helped me do it. I was at school all day and all night. I was on school every summer. Like, it was stupid the amount of time that I put into it for a diploma, you know? Which, today, I mean, not once has it been asked for, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you.
But I did it more of a, kind of a, to prove to myself that counselor didn't know what the fuck she was talking about.
Yeah.
And music helped me a lot. And a lot of it was Tiesto. And same thing, I found Tiesto. It just so happens that I found him at that time. And I dove in. I went through his entire discography, and you know, with EDM dudes, there's a million CDs that they put out. And,
yeah.
That was, I mean, it's a wide range of music that just music in general, you know, just love it.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, actually, you know what? You mind if I take like 2 seconds here to just
go poop real quick, handle it? Yeah, man. But it's crazy, you know. There's a casual music listener that kind of just only hears the things that are on the radio.
Yeah.
And then there's the there's a person that seeks the music.
Yeah.
And then there's a person that's, you know, they live it. They, no matter what, they're listening to music in the shower, cooking, cleaning, whatever you're doing, music is playing. And that was the kind of person that I became. Just because my time was so consumed by whatever it is I was doing, whether I was working or I was trying to freaking graduate high school, I had to have something playing, otherwise I would lose my shit. Fucking sitting there learning about history, reading about history. I'm like, I don't care about this.
Yeah.
But with Tiesto in my ears, you know?
So how would that... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you're asking about other influences? Yeah. Other kind of... Yeah, man. I learned to play guitar from Sublime, Bradley. You know? Like, I always wanted to play guitar like Bradley. And Led Zeppelin. Like, I bought my first... chord book was a tabs book. It was a Led Zeppelin. I had no idea what the hell I was getting into. I was just my first book. I was like, yeah, Led Zeppelin's a good band, right? And then one of the best guitar players ever. So trying to learn from him. So I play blues. I like listening to blues. Other than that, you know, just the EDM stuff is hard hitting. It's raw. It's energy. You know, again, I was in a punk rock band. We love energy, just like raw wall of sound. So for me, when I heard like dubstep, I heard just heavy bass, just like woo. And I think, like, people, if you went to and if, go to a festival, just go to any rave or festival and you feel those speakers knocking, you're sold. There's just energy, man. Just raw energy. Okay. Yeah.
So, man, like, you're going back to, like, talking to, like, about Tiesto, right? How the hell does that work? Like, you're just not paying attention to your teacher and you're just fucking listening to music or what?
No, I mean, it was more of the... Because, you know, with school, when you're in class, you're in class. No matter what you're doing, you have to be there. But when you're not in class, that's what's the most important part. If you fuck off and go roll a blunt and you know, play some video games, you're gonna forget whatever it is that you remotely learned in class. So what Tiesto did for me is it kept me focused outside of the classroom. And it kept me driven. I was a racehorse with a blindfold on, and the blindfold was Tiesto, you know? It was more in there. I'm exaggerating the extent of how much I listen to Tiesto, but to get, you know, to prove the point that
it's like a big part of your life.
Yeah, you know? it was a big. Who knows what would have happened if I didn't graduate? You know, I dropped out or some shit.
You listen to Tiesto, like all that bullshit that's around you. Like, you don't have time for it because, you know, you got like one mission. You got one thing in your mind, and you want to accomplish that. You want to accomplish that shit. See, I mean, I like that. I like that. Sentiment. There we go.
That's what our music is to us now. So now, instead of Tiesto, now it's our own shit. Now it's just us. And every day I'm at work and I'm sitting there at the desk and I'll think of a bar and I'm like, fuck, let me write that down. And I'll text it to these guys. Like, hey, what do you guys think about this? And it consumes you. And it, instead of Tiesto, now it's just us. And if we can, in turn, somebody listens to our shit and it you know, helps them achieve a goal, whether it's, you know, cleaning the dishes or whether it's graduating high school. I mean, if we can help somebody through a tough time, you know what I mean? Through some dark times.
Yeah.
Fuck, I mean, that's enough right there.
That's a plus right there.
Doing dishes is very tough. You
know? Yeah.
So las trastes. Haz los trastes, pendejo.
So what's like your, what do you write about or what do you like rap about on your, like, you know, in general, I guess?
It varies. This guy put out a project with under his producer name 611, and it's an EDM project, and I'm talking about heavy drug use and a night out and chicks and, you know what I mean, which is not a reality of mine, but I can tap into that because I've experienced those things, and that's kind of what I write about. It's whatever when we get in the studio, we make the beat from scratch, so wherever that beat takes me is what I'm writing about. But everything I write about is, you know, I write about what I know. We say what we mean, you know what I mean, and we mean what we say. It's that's one of the lines that I spit, and it's true. It's nothing I say is made up. It's either happened to me or I've seen it firsthand, and it's from the heart. I mean, everything I say is true story, you know.
Yeah. So how does that work? Like, he comes up with a beat and then he throws it at you. He's like, oh, this is what we're gonna, like, this is what's gonna be on the album. No fucking question. Like, this is gonna be there.
No,
like, forcing you type of deal. Like, fuck what you want. This is what you're gonna listen to.
Nah, the good thing is that there's three of us, so there's always gonna be a majority.
Okay.
And then sometimes two of us will be like, nah, I don't know about that. And like, okay, cool, scrap it. That's two of us. But if two of us are like, dude, you're crazy. This beat is hard. Like, we're gonna use this. Like, you know, fucking eat a dick. Like, you have to do it. You know.
And there's actually a couple songs on the project that we're releasing that we originally didn't even. We were like, we can make, you know, we can do without it. But the more we listened to it, and once we got the bars on there, and once it got the structure, and once, you know, once it got the hook on there, it turned into something else. It's like, holy fuck, like, did we really make that? We don't even recognize it anymore, you know?
Yeah, for the most part, though, we all agree. So that's one thing that I've learned as a producer, is, like, I've worked with a lot of different artists, and sometimes you just bump heads. Like, they'll be like, oh, let's do this. I'm like, no, that's not going to sound good. No, but let's do it. It's not going to sound good. Like, don't talk to me like I don't know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like, I've been doing this for a very long time, you know? Like, respect that at least, you know?
Yeah,
but, like, with these guys, we always, like, I say 99% of the time agree. Like, let's all add some piano. Oh, add a bass. Like, yeah, you're right, you know?
And it's a good form of quality control.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to go through three heads.
Yeah.
Three completely different tastes in music, too. I mean, Jordan fucking hates, like, he hears me listening to Gucci and he's like, ah, this fucking guy, you know? And I can sit there and bump it all day and, you know, listen to his bars and like, holy fuck, he got down right there. And then this guy's over here listening to, what'd you say, what, Dastic? Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's a rigorous gauntlet that these beats and these rhymes and these bars and these hooks have to go through to make it to finally get released, you know? Which is why our project's fucking tanking so long.
Well, I think, I mean, that works out. That's true, because For it to be released or to be approved, like, it has to go through three of you. So, like, if it's a group of two, if it's 50-50, then you're gonna be stuck. But since it's three, there's always like a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell's happening to me today with my words, man. For real. So I had to, like, okay, so where was your first performance, or what was it, or what's up?
So it was on April 1st. And the only reason I know the date is because it's on the board. I mean, I'm terrible with dates, but...
Isn't April Fool's awesome?
Yeah, and that was kind of the joke we had running, like, are we really fucking doing this? Is this a joke? But, yeah, I mean, Know Thyself, he knew of that we're putting in work, making music. He knew that we you know, we branded ourselves with the Just Us, and he's like, I want to put you guys on stage. This was before we had even released any music. All we had was Broken Spanish, and it was a raw fucking version that we had on SoundCloud. And he's like, I want to put you guys on stage. And we're like, fuck, okay. So that was even more motivation to create content to even go on stage. So when we went on stage, we had six songs that we performed. Only one of them was released. It was a fucking, that experience was insane. I mean, I still remember when they're like, all right, you guys are going up right now. Me and Jordan were in the back. And, you know, we kind of just... We weren't even... We had like a beer or two, and we just had a conversation. We were like, fuck, this is it, dude. Like, we're doing it, you know? And even though there was only like 30 people there, it was a big step for us. And from then, it's been pedal to the metal, you know, just giving it some bacon. And that's all. We haven't stopped. We haven't stopped since that day.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, these guys knocked out of the park. It's like their first time on stage. You know, I was a lead singer for a punk rock band, so I had been performing for a while.
Yeah.
But you still get nervous every time you're up there, you know, especially like when you care so much or like about the art, you're like, I want this to be really good.
Yeah.
So we prepared like hardcore, you know, for like 2 weeks. We're like, yo, you got to practice this. No, there's that one word. 2 weeks.
What the fuck?
Well, I mean, maybe is that not a lot of time? You're like, yo, practice. For a month.
This, like,
yeah, dude.
No, 2 weeks of fucking rigorous work. Me and my cousin would come in here, and we would do the song. We would do the set 3-4 times before we went home, every single day for 2 weeks, and it showed when we got on stage. It was the very last song where Jordan freestyled. It was the very last song of our set, and it was the very last verse of our set, and Jordan freestyled it. And other than that, our performance was great. We didn't fucking mumble. We didn't slur. We're up there and we killed it. And it was our introduction to everybody. East of the River dudes were there too, so I was really happy with our performance with them in the audience. And they're blowing up. Those guys are sick. And you know, I'm happy that they saw us our very first set. You know, hopefully it you know, we gain some ground with those guys and you know, they support us. You know, it's hard to get support from your peers because everybody wants to be the best. You know.
Yeah.
But those guys are sick. Everybody doing it. It's sick right now. I fucking 100% back everybody. I'll wear their gear in our videos. I'll buy their gear. You know what I mean? It's sick.
Yeah.
I love it. Everybody's on the come up, and that's how it should be. Why should we? You know, our parents. I don't know about everybody, but my parents are immigrants, and they came to this country so that we can have the opportunity to you know, do great things. So why work the 9-to-5 every day? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's amazing to see all these young cats creating music, creating content, creating, you know, clothing brands, creating car clubs and branding it. You know what I mean? It's, I love it. It's amazing.
Do you still get nervous though? Like, well, oh, have you been performing? Like, after that, did you perform any?
We did another gig, Synchronicity Volume 1, which was great. Great turnout. Know Thyself. Stephen J is Filthy. That event is so amazing. The lineup they were able to get and the people that they were able to get to perform, just absolutely amazing. Really good quality artists up there with real talent. And Volume 2 is November 5th. On Sunday, November 5th.
I had him on like three or four episodes ago, and we talked a little bit about that. So yeah, so I mean, so another, you guys gonna take part of that too?
Yeah, we're in it. And
Synchronicity Deuce.
Synchronicity Volume 2. Another Deuce. 2 weeks. Another 2 weeks of of training for that set too. This one we're gonna do all new songs from our EP. Yeah, because fuck, it's 20 minutes long, the album, so we'll probably end up doing like 3-4 songs.
What the? So the first set, how long was your first set? 20 minutes?
It was supposed to be 15. We ended up going long. We did like 6 songs, huh? Yeah. We did 6 songs. We went long.
Did they mind? Whatever.
I mean, it was.
Was it like a coming out party type of deal? Like, oh, this is your.
Yeah. Mind? Yeah. The crowd was literally there for us. Everybody that was there for us. It was our first gig, so, you know, friends and family and stuff. Everybody would show up to support. Everybody was rocking our shirts. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was our very first merch that we printed. And shout out to the Cali Network and, you know, for hooking us up on that. And so it was cool. You know, everybody showed up and really supported us. And you know, there was just no words that can describe that night. Seeing everybody in the crowd and all the familiar faces and people kind of just rocking with us when we're on stage was motivation for us to keep going. Because if that night would have went south, I don't know if we would have continued, you know?
Yeah.
I think you asked if we still get nervous.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't mention this, but he told me earlier. He had like a sandwich or some food this food didn't even eat because he was so fucking nervous. You know, I've been DJing for a long fucking time, and I've been, you know, frontman, and I still get nervous every single show because everyone's different. Every single show is different.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not to sound like an alcoholic, but I got to drink at least 2-3 beers anytime I'm up there. Like, because you get nervous, man. Yeah, you're like, everybody's looking at you with their eyeballs. Yeah. You know? So.
Yeah. I get that. I do stand up, so.
What?
On my last fucking show.
Sick ass.
Fucking my dick was in my throat. That's how nervous I was, man. But I was like, I was shadow boxing and shit. Yeah. Man, I get that. I mean, I feel like if you don't get nervous before a show, then there must be something wrong.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you don't feel the pressure, like, my thing is I want to make everybody happy, everybody laugh. And if you're not nervous about that, because everybody's different. Like, you got to be nervous about that.
Of course.
There's something wrong either with you or with the material you're putting out, because that to me means that you don't care, you know?
Yeah.
I care because of the material, because I want them to laugh, but I also care about the audience because, you know, I want them to laugh, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I get nervous every time we come in here and we record. Really? I'll be sitting here writing my lyrics, saying it out loud, and spitting it sick. I'll get up to the microphone, I'm like, fuck, all right, people are going to hear this. Oh, God. Like, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get nervous. The release has me nervous as fuck. I'm nervous to see how it's gonna be received. You know,
you're just nervous about the response to it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And you know, it's. I think it's a normal thing. I think it's healthy. It's healthy to get to be nervous. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So like right now, like what's like your dream goal? Like where would you like to perform? Like.
Okay. Well. You know, it's we're very goal oriented here, so we like to set realistic goals. And I would like to do just a minor little tour in the LA area. You know, if we can play a couple spots in LA, maybe for a month or two. You know, every other weekend or something like that.
Yeah.
That would be the dream for me. I mean, obviously you want to keep growing and keep, you know, across the country. That would be amazing. But you know, we want to be realistic, and I think a local tour would be dope, you know, playing local spots. And I think it's very, very doable.
Like, you don't want to go to the East Coast?
Yeah, man. Madison Square Garden.
Yeah,
exactly. we're gonna make it over there. Like, I you know, he's talking about realistic goals, and for me it's like I just shoot for the fucking moon. I've never had anything in my life, you know. I grew up poor, fucking grinding. But I've never had anything that I tried real hard and I didn't do it. Like, you know what I mean? So for me, this is all just like, I just got to bust my head on the concrete until I get it, you know? Like skateboarding too, dude. Like, You ever watch a skateboard video? You see a dude trying to do a trick?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, that took him the whole day for 3 seconds of footage.
Yeah.
You know, so like I was out there doing that shit too.
And you skate also?
Yeah, yeah. We're both skateboarders, dude.
Like still?
Man, I wish. Too fucking old. I break.
Too fat now. If I was like 30 pounds lighter, I'd probably still be skating. But, you know, I have a wife and a daughter, and, you know, it's impossible. Especially when, you know, I want all my time that I'm not working or paying with the bills or I'm not with the fam. I wanted to go to music, so yeah. Skating kind of took a back seat. I still have my board in my trunk, though. I mean, I'll fucking take that shit out anytime, you know what I mean?
Mine too. Like, I used to skate a little bit in high school, and then I stopped. So now I have it just in case I run out of gas. Now I don't have to walk, you know.
That shit is great. That low-key, that's why I have it in my trunk, too. I just didn't want to say it.
So if you were rapping right now, like, what would you be doing?
If I wasn't rapping right now, I'd be fucking just working. Nah, I don't think I'd be skating. I think that was kind of a youthful thing that I was doing. I'd probably, in one way or another, I would still be writing. I would either try to fucking write a book or a play or some stupid shit, something like that. I would, no matter what, I always have to write. I always have so many ideas that I have to put on paper, or, you know, in my notes app. I think I would no matter what be writing at the very minimum. What about you?
Oh, man, that's tough. I mean, for sure, I'd be an entrepreneur of some sort. Like, I can't. A regular job to me is just like death. It just grinds against my person. You know, like deep in my soul, going every day to a 9-to-5, it just grinds. You know, I'm not lazy, bro. I work hard.
Yeah.
But it's just I feel like I don't belong there. You know,
yeah.
So I'd start a business. I'd, you know, figure something out. Like, but damn, dude, it's hard to think of like what else would you do besides the music. I love film, so maybe I'd be a filmmaker. You know,
do you have? I mean, you guys have a couple music videos, right?
Yeah.
I'm the videographer.
Yeah, videographer. I shot those. We come up with the ideas together, but I shot them, edit. But it's all of us. We all kind of come up with ideas for like, all right, this is what it's gonna be. But I had, you know, 2 years of film school before I decided, all right, that's a dumb major. Don't get a degree in film, guys. Just go out and make movies, you know. But I learned a lot, and that's kind of some stuff that I apply to the videos we have.
So did you go to school like for like any like photography or, you know, videography or anything like that?
All the hard skills are self-taught.
Yeah.
Yeah, like from the skateboard days where we would go out with a camera and just like hit ledges and shit. All right, let me get this angle. It's got to be moving, you know, like simple stuff that you don't think about. But if you watch a movie, look at the quality of the color, look at where the actors are positioned, look at the clothing that they're wearing, look at how tight the angle is of the camera, you know, all that stuff. It's so simple, but it helps tell a story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I try to do that with a lot of stuff that we do.
Yeah.
I'm not the best. I suck. But, you know, still learning.
I mean, it sounded like the one song I did hear. I mean, if you were involved with it, it sounded pretty good.
Which song was that?
The first one. It's in SoundCloud. That's the only one I've heard so far. The very first one.
Broken Spanish.
Yeah.
Spanish be the language in Los Angeles.
There we go. Yeah.
We re-recorded that, right?
So that one, we made that shit in my living room, dude. My boy LP, we like to consider him as a part of Just Us, but that motherfucker had two kids, you know what I mean? And he's a single father, and he works two jobs, so he can't be a part of it as much as we would like him to be. But he made that beat, and that shit, it was a spark, you know? It was a spark, and me and my cousin heard it, and we're like, fuck, this is the one. And you know, me and LP, we would have sessions before we even had the studio, beat making sessions. I wasn't even writing. I was just trying to produce. And I have a shit ton of beats in my laptop, but just none of them are. They don't have that structure. They don't have that 6/11 touch on it, which is why when we had that Broken Spanish song, I came to Sick with it, and he mastered the song, put a little bit of structure on it. He's like, all right, this is where the hook should go. This is where, you know, where the bar should go, where the verse should go. And we re-recorded the track, and that's the one we have on SoundCloud, the mastered version. That's the one we recorded the video on, and that was the beginning of it all right there. I mean, of it on paper at least.
So let me go back to that last question about what would you be doing? Like, why'd you say like stupid shit when you said about the fucking writing? Like, what's wrong with writing? Like, why don't you write a fucking book or something?
I know. To me, it's silly because I just don't. It seems so far fetched to me, you know. Like, oh yeah, I'm gonna really go sell a screenplay.
Fuck, like, there's why not though? Like, I know. Like hip hop. I bet you this wasn't in your books, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just, you know, people don't have jobs. People do this all day and struggle to sell screenplays or struggle to sell their script or, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So to me, it sounds so far fetched, but I'm sure if I wasn't doing this 100%, I would be giving that my all as well. And it might seem stupid to me now because I do have hip hop and I do have Just Us, and you know, we do have these mediums to put out our content and my writing. And but at 100%, I'd be doing that. And you know, it's not stupid shit. I just, you know, just a word fumble there.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm pretty sure you're gonna write that book, and I hope that. And somewhere in that book, you write this part where you're like, it sparked your interest, you know, somewhere, you know.
It was the podcast that Let Me Know podcast really sparked my interest to write my autobiography.
At that moment, when Angel asked me, why is it stupid? I thought, why is it stupid?
A light bulb literally hit me on the head.
So like, you mentioned that you can't really listen to some of that EDM. Not EDM, you said like, oh, that wasn't you. That was on, what you call him?
Jordan,
yeah, about Gucci Mane. So, but who's your Gucci Mane? Like, who, like, to him, what Gucci Mane is to him, who is that to person me, to you? You know, like, genre, it doesn't have to be artist.
So, to me, like, and this is going to sound like people are going to talk shit on this, but I hate reggaeton. Oh, okay. I cannot stand that shit. I hate it. I mean, even if I'm at the club and, you know, this never happens, I don't go to the club, but when I would go out and stuff and they would play that, and even though, you know, chicks want to dance with it and stuff, I hate that music. It's terrible.
What do you hate about it?
I don't like the way they, like, I just don't like how they sound. Oh, I don't like the beat. I don't like anything about it. And don't get me wrong, I love Spanish music. I mean, that's some of the early beats that I have. All the samples are from old Spanish music. And I love Spanish music, but it's that reggaeton, I hate it, dude.
Bro, that's funny. I actually love reggaeton because, you know, I'm a DJ, dude. When I bump that stuff, dude, the club goes wild. Yeah. You know, and I love that feeling of seeing everybody just, you push a button, I know, like, you know, boom, and then everybody just moves, you know, because it came from your head. You're like, all right, I know what's going to happen right now. Boom, you know. But as far as, like, I don't really hate nothing, man. I love all kinds of music. I said country probably, like, but you know what? I've opened up recently to it. I hate pop country. I still just can't. There's no way. Just fuck. It's like chalk on the, you know, your nails on the chalkboard kind of thing to me.
Yeah.
But if you listen to some, you know, like, there has been one or two, or I won't go look it up and be like, I feel like listening to country right now.
Yeah.
But I've heard it and I'm like, okay, I can appreciate that.
So do you like the new Kesha album? Because that's like a pop country right now.
Hey man, I don't knock nobody out there hustling. Kesha, she can kill it, dude. You know?
That new Miley album though, that shit is bangers. It's a little country album too. I love country, man. That shit is great. It's all about beers, chicks, trucks. Dude, that shit is tight. I love that shit.
So do you have any other hidden talents? I mean, do you have a hidden talent? Sorry.
Hey, I'm a hustler, bro.
Yeah.
If you know me and you know me personally, you know that about me. But that's my, I just hustle, bro. I fucking sell water to a whale. You know what I mean? Like my boy Jay-Z says. It's not my boy. I don't want him.
Yeah, man. This is for sure a hustler all day. Hidden talents, man. I don't know. I'm a painter. Okay. I used to paint anything art, you know. But I'm also like a really smart dude. You know, like,
I mean, to pick this up and like to do yourself, you gotta be kind of smart. You know, dedicated.
This motherfucker has his BA in, I don't know what the fuck, but this guy he went to Santa Barbara, got his BA and shit.
Psychology and brain sciences.
That's good. I'm guessing might help with the fucking beats. You know, help you think about like the audience member. What the hell is that person going through or listening to?
And that's actually a big part of the music is people who want to make music. They're like, I want to make music for me.
Yeah.
It's like, in a sense, you want to make music that you like, but at the end of the day, you want it to connect to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, like, someone's got to hear it, and it's got to go in their soul.
Yeah.
That's good music. If you want to just make some bullshit, whatever, go do that. You know, but, like, we're trying to make good music here.
Yeah. See, like, I'm still stuck on that beginning part where you said you don't got a good voice. Your voice, both of your voices compared to mine are, like, heavy, nice. Mine's is, like, light, like a piece of fucking paper, you know?
Hey, fool, blazer, fool.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy, he has a deep voice. I always hear him on hooks. Like, when we're making a beat, I can hear him on a hook. But he becomes so self-conscious, it's impossible to get in front of a mic.
Well, I mean, if you look up our Life's a Bitch video, I'm in that. I sang the backing on the hook. But I was on the radio for 2 years in Santa Barbara. So 91.9 KCSB FM. This is DJ Subatomic. You know, I would have like, you know, it was like an hour and a half. Arm with a Mind. It was my boy in college. We had a radio show. Yeah, bro. I can't spit. I can't do it.
I mean, that's something I want to get into. Like the radio. I'm self-conscious about my voice and look at the fuck I'm doing.
Yeah, man. It's all about getting. That's the hardest part. And that's something that I preached to Jordan, too. And it's my cousin. That's not here. It's been a struggle, and the hardest part is getting past yourself. It's like, just get over yourself, dude. Like, who cares? Like, just fucking spit it however you're gonna spit it, say it however you're gonna say it, experiment. I mean, that's what we're not, what are we trying to do? Are we really trying to fit into 90s hip-hop? Are we really trying to be into like, we're gonna make a trap song? Like, no, dude, just fucking spit it from the heart, and however it comes out, it comes out. Yeah. If we like it, we like it, we'll put it out. If not, fuck it, scrap it. It'll be in Slick's laptop for an eternity, and it'll never be released. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's been the hardest part right there, getting past ourselves.
So like, what's your like your music making process like? What do you have to put like a certain mood, or you gotta be in a certain mindset, or what?
So it varies, but most of the time, you know, because we come in the studio and we have set days that we come in, you know, and me, Jordan and 611 will come in, and somebody will come in, and it's so natural. Like, it won't be forced. There's never a moment we come in, we sit down like, all right, well, what are we gonna do today, guys? Like, no, we get in here and somebody will be like, yo, I heard this shit today, like, check it out. And then, you know, it'll just go from there. And every single time we come in here, it always happens. Sure enough, it always happens. Somebody will come in here and they'll say, I've been fucking hearing this drums in my head all day, check it. And then they'll hit it on the table, you know what I mean? And then it's like, okay, I hear it. And then he'll fucking put that shit, and it'll start coming out of the speakers. And we're like, holy fuck. Like, that's the sound I was hearing all day. Yeah. Or I'll come in here with a bar like, yo, I've been fucking saying this line in my head all fucking day. Check it out. Let me know what you guys think. It'll turn into the hook, and we'll build around that, you know? And it happens so organically that's how we know that what we're doing is good, because we get in here and it's effortless, dude. And 611, this motherfucker got his hands in so many pots. He produces for you name it, and he'll produce for them. But this guy, when we get in here, he turns into a different animal. He fucking, I don't know how he does it. I don't know, maybe he can explain it.
Dude, I have like the music of the universe in my head, and like through all the music, I have a unique opportunity at work. I'm listening to music all day. Like, you will not catch me without my headphones. Most people will not listen to as much music as I do, right? So from everything, and I just, all the sounds, the quality of the sound, the beat, the rhythm, the melody, all that stuff, I listen to and I absorb it. And then when we want to come up with something, we come in the studio, I want to feel it. That's one thing. There's this cool documentary on the Swedish House Mafia, and I'm not sure if it's Alesso or one of those guys. He's like, I don't want to hear it, I want to feel it, you know?
Yeah.
And that can be either like when you bump the speaker, do you feel it in your chest?
Yeah.
You know, or when I hear it, it goes into your head and you're like, dude, that song, right? That's the piece I think a lot of people are missing with their music, and why their music sucks. You know, it's like they just don't want to write anything that means anything to anybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you ever like listen to like a song on the radio or like somebody, and you're like, man, I could do that song better? Like, or, and like, two part question, I guess. And do you feel like it's kind of disrespectful, like remixes, you know, like they have a good, like it's a decent song, but then somebody jumps up and like kind of makes it better, like, I guess?
Oh, no, dude. I remix stuff. You know what I mean? So I think, if you're gonna go and take something that's already great and then just add your own twist, it's like a whole nother element. It's like, you know, Coca-Cola and Pepsi. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's two different things, but it's still, whatever. Yeah. You get, at the end of the day, it's a good song.
And you add some, you know, some Crown with the Coke, and it becomes that much better. You know what I mean? Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, but if you hear it on the radio, I always give props to those people. Like, there's a lot of people, like, musicians don't want to listen to, like, the greats. Or they don't want to pay tribute to that. Or they don't want to listen to them and learn from them. Like, dude, you really going to say you're better than Jimi Hendrix right now? Like, what, your head is so fucking big right now that you fucking think that Jimi Hendrix didn't fucking sit there for hours. Yeah. Like, dude, no, that riff ain't good. Yeah, like, you're going to act like that? You know, like, yeah. listen to what they're doing. Learn.
Yeah.
You know, and I was just on this with Wyclef Jean. You know, shout out to Wyclef. There's an interview with Gary Vaynerchuk. And he's like, the moment you stop learning, that's the moment you lost.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel that. Oh, okay. So I thought you were going to say something. All right. So, like, have you noticed that, like, a change from, like, your first song, Broken Spanish, to, like, the songs that are right now in your new album?
Yeah, it's come with practice and with getting here every week and cooking some new material. We've gotten better. I mean, if we go back and listen to our early stuff, we'll be like, holy fuck, like, I sound like an idiot. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Even the stuff that we had already released, the first six songs, it's so, like, every time I listen to it, I cringe because I'm like, oh my God, I could have spit that so much better now. And it's just, it's come with practice. I mean, we not only do we practice outside of here, but when we're in here, we're sitting here, we're writing. The process is so natural to us now that we get in here and everything goes smoothly. We get on the mic, 1-2 takes, and we're good. You know, as before, fucking, we'd be sitting there in the booth, in our little raggedy ass booth that we'd be standing there for an hour trying to get it right, and then at the end of the day. We would be settling for it, like, all right, that's as good as it's gonna sound, like, all right, like, that's as good as you're gonna spit it, basically. And we would settle for the verses. If you listen to our first six songs that we released, with all the ones with the videos, they're not great. Our verses aren't great, you know. The songs are good, don't get me wrong, but now we spit it and we've really developed into our styles, and we really found our voice and the highs and the lows that we can hit, and we found our voice. And that's something that that Slick did too with the beats. I mean, all the beats are now, they're real consistent. Everything has that Just Us sound, and it doesn't even sound like the anything that we put out before too. So it's, we found our identity basically with the process.
So a tip to like upcoming musicians, learn from everybody, right? So you have a band, and in that band, the dude has that same fucking guitar, and he uses that same fucking guitar on every song. You know, it creates a unique quality to that music, and maybe he tuned it a little bit different. That's kind of what the sound is. Like, I use a lot of the same elements in each song, where it's the same drum kick, the same, you know, snare, the same processing on the master. Like, I want to give it a unique quality that took time to find, but you want to give it a consistency, you know?
Right now with the setup they got here, because I'm recording at their place, guys, I kind of see, like, I could envision something for my, when I get my studio or my place, I'm going to do, like, what you guys have here. Like, the little booth, it's pretty much, you put the soundproof panels on the wall, and you got the shell. I think I'm going to do that, too, but corner to corner. Okay. Yeah, that sounds like, to me, like, yeah. That was, that's a personal, I guess that's my own thing.
when you do it, you get us back in there, bro. Yeah, we're doing that podcast again.
We'll see how this turns out, because if I don't get enough bass, you probably won't want to come back, you know?
We'll push the shit out of this podcast. Yeah. We're going to make it happen.
So, I mean, that's not your guys, or that's not on you. That's on, like, my listeners right there. Like, you're not sharing me enough, and people are not hearing it, guys. Come on, guys. If they don't come back, it's your guys' fault. All right, I'm putting it on you guys.
There's people I hold accountable. I'm like, dude, you need to listen to this shit because you're my friend. Exactly. Like, you need to listen to it. Exactly. So at the very minimum, we'll have five listens. I have five friends, so we're good.
I told, I think, one of my... yesterday I had an event at Dominguez Hills, and I told somebody, like, I know I could at least... I'm going to have two guaranteed hits, my mom and my dad. As long as if I don't see two hits, then I know I'm in trouble, problems. You know?
Ama. No, yo mi podcast, ama.
I mean, she doesn't even know that much Spanish, so I think she just likes the beats in the background,
hey,
you know?
Bangers.
So, like, if you could open up right now, like, not now, but eventually, I guess. Or if you could have, two-part question, I guess, all right? If you could open up for somebody, or if you could have somebody open up with you, who would it be?
Okay. Well, again, this goes back to kind of being realistic goals. And I think that there's some female artists out there right now, Reverie and Gavlin and Snow the Product. And they're putting out good content. It's hip hop and they're touring. Oh, shit, I'd love to open for them. You know what I mean? And they're dope artists and they're Latino. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is kind of it's the same demographic, you know. I feel like not only will the fan base be consistent, but our content's consistent because we're Latinos, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And then those, like I said earlier too, those East of the River dudes, they're coming up, man, and I would love to open for them. And that's, you know, that's my realistic mindset, but I'm sure this guy's gonna say, like, open up for Wu-Tang or some shit.
Yeah, that's right. you know, you have to have those long-term goals. You set like little baby goals, like, okay, cool, let me open up for like a local underground act, you know, that's kind of popping off. But you know, someday Kendrick, I love Kendrick, man. That was like one of my another big influence that I mentioned before. I'd love to open up for Kendrick. Anybody else in the EDM scene, you know, like, dude, if I could open up for Tiesto, you know, he was mentioning Tiesto, man, that would just be it. But you know, one day at a time, we'll get there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I would have said Tupac, but hey.
Tupac, yeah. Hologram Tupac, I'll take it, man. Let's do it.
I opened up for the hologram Tupac. Yeah. Fuck it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't care. I'll open up for his grave if he wants. I don't care. So, like, as a band, like, what's one of your biggest challenges, you know? Like you said, I bet, like, the approval process of, you know, yeah. like sometimes, like, you're, like, 100%, like, I want this shit, like, 100% I want this, but then you got two people over here telling you like, nah, this is garbage. Like, what are other, you know, challenges that you guys face?
I mean that's the biggest challenge, is getting us all on the same page and getting us all to agree. I mean, even today, Jordan, fucking, we told him 2 weeks ago that we were doing this podcast, and motherfucker, you know. But that's the biggest thing. I mean, it's we all work, you know what I mean, we all got families, we all got our own thing going on, and the biggest thing is getting us all in a room and fucking getting us all on the same page and the same schedule to get in here and to cook. Not only that too, but once we make the product, that's the first step, you know what I mean? We got to get out there, we got to push it, we got to market it, we got to, you know, we got to social media marketing, we got to go out, we got to gig. And you know, it's tough to get all three people's schedules aligned, and even if you get them aligned, getting everybody on the same page is it's its own task, and especially when it's three completely different minds, you know.
Yeah, and believe it or not, the hardest part too is convincing yourself, because you'll hear that in like a voice in the back of your head, like, ah, this is whack, you're wasting your time, you shouldn't be doing this shit, like, this is too hard, right? So you have to convince yourself first, like, I'm gonna do this.
Yeah,
you know, and almost like a crazy person. And I say that all the time. It's like, you gotta work like a crazy person. You just gotta be like, your heart and soul, and you're gonna lose friends, and you're gonna lose, you know, relationships, and it's gonna be tough. But you know, I'm upfront with everybody. My girlfriend, I told her, hey, look, this is what I do, and I'm gonna spend a lot of time there. And sometimes I'm on the phone, but I'm always working, 24/7. You know, my brain never turns off. That's another hard, you know, it's convincing yourself, like, we're gonna do this. And then also, once you know, you convince yourself, all right, I'm gonna do it, and then taking the time to learn what marketing is, learn what a good engineering is, learn all that shit. It takes time, it takes effort, and sometimes you're averse to doing the thing that's hard. You're like, oh, it's too much work.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and that's why I say that, you know, without all three of us as a part of it, it wouldn't work. Because if I didn't have 611 to bounce ideas off of, like, hey, Doc, what do you think about this marketing scheme? Or what do you think about this criteria of people that we're gonna push this to? If I didn't have his feedback to either confirm or change, you know, what my plans are, I don't think I mean, success is relative. And to me, we're successful right now. We've got, you know, over 1,000 views on some of our videos, you know. Yeah, and yeah, we got 30,000 hits on Facebook, which, you know, it's only 3 second views that you know, hit that. But to me, that's successful. To me, 30,000 people at least seen our video and seen at least 3 seconds of it, you know. And to me, that's great. You know, it's a really good foundation for what we're trying to do with Just Us, which is just put music out, quality, good music. Spit about what we know, and hopefully open some people's eyes to some of the injustices that we're exposed to as first generation Latinos. You know what I mean? Growing up in the hood.
I like that. You know, I like it a lot. Right. So I see you right now. You're wearing it in your hat. You got the pin of Unknown Phenom. Like, how'd you link up with them?
Well, you know, being I've my whole life I've been in and out of Wilmington. I went to golf. You know what I mean? Went to Golf Avenue and went to Banning, and my cousin grew up there too, and just seeing all these artists and brands coming out of Wilmington, it's great, man. I love it, and I gotta support. I have to support the city, and I have to support anybody that's trying to do their own thing, because, like I said earlier, that's what our parents came to this country for, so that we can try to do whatever we want, whatever our minds, you know, desire. We can try to do it. And so when I see somebody doing that, when I see that Unknown Phenom, I see them putting in work, I see them posters on the freeways,
You know what I mean? I see his social media marketing. I see it all, and I'm like, damn, this shit's tight. So I at the first synchronicity, I'm like, yo, dude, you're going to have to hook me up with a shirt. You're going to have to hook me up. Let me get that. You know what I mean? So now it's the pin's always on my hat. I'm always rocking it. The shirt, any opportunity I have, I'm, you know, where there's going to be some type of exposure, I'm throwing it on. You know what I mean? Same thing with, you know, even car clubs, Speed Cartel. Like, that's one of my, he's my neighbor. He used to be my neighbor when I lived in Wilmington. And he, you know, he started branding in it, started making shirts. So I'm like, let's do it. You know, threw a shirt on, bought it from him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Threw it on in the video. And like, I'm always going to support people chasing their dreams, because at the end of the day, that's what we're doing. And at the end of the day, that's what I hope people do for us too. You know what I mean? Support us, rock our shit, blast our shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, supporting each other. I mean, you see all these groups that make it, like, even like Ray Shmurda. It's backwards, what it means, it's ear drummers. And that's a click. All the producers you see now, all those guys that are all on the features, and Migo, everybody, they're all part of that same click. And I don't think they would have come up independently. You know what I mean? They came up as ear drummers, and they're all part of that same click. And we need to do that with our own artists. We need to do that with Wilmington. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's where Know Thyself is really, really pivotal. He's kind of that center point. And I mean, he linked me up with you. You know what I mean? He links me up with the shows. These shows, he has all this great artists that are on stage, and we need to stick together if we really want to do anything great. I mean, strength is in numbers.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, like, I could attest for myself. Like, I bought, like, I, like, when I found out about Unknown Phenom, like, I want to jump in there too. I wanted, like, to rock their stuff. So I bought a shirt, you know, and it was during Christmas. You know what happens in Christmas? They fucking steal your shit in the hood, all right? So I told them, hey, you know what? Like, they stole it. So they handed, like, personally dropped it off, and they gave me an extra shirt, you know? So they're good people there, you know?
If yeah.
That, I mean, they have a good character, and that's what I like about them. You know?
Yeah,
like,
the two guys that are running it, they're really smart dudes. They know what they're doing. They know their marketing scheme. They know their you know, they know how to get people to want to buy it, which is fucking, it's genius, dude. It takes time for that. I mean, me and this guy have read countless books. We've listened to countless podcasts, with trying to figure out how we're going to market this. And seeing him do it, and seeing him being successful with it, growing his brand, dude, that shit is fucking great.
Yeah, if you want to take any tips, you know, shout out to Unknown Phenom, Cheddar. You know, we only met like one time, but dude's super cool.
I'm trying, like, to get him on.
Yeah,
I've been working
should,
hard,
man,
to get his ass on, but
he's got the people behind him. You know, like, that's really key. If you can move bodies like that, dude.
Yeah.
Damn, you know.
And I see him, like, in he has New York and Texas. I always see him, like, somewhere, you know, he has somebody popping up with his brand, you know. Like, that's a dream, right? Like, to have your shit somewhere, like, other than California, you know?
Right.
No, that's cool.
Showing,
like,
love,
him,
for sure.
Yeah. Oh, you were saying, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Like, you were talking about Cheddar.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, anybody who's out there trying to do things on their own, dude, like, I love it. Just go out there and do it. You know, a lot of people hold themselves back. Like I was saying, that's, like, one of the biggest things, is you think you can't do it. But I always say, like, have you done this? Have you done that? Like, for the music, for the first time I tried doing it, I was like, well, have you put anything out? No. Have you tried marketing anything? No. Have you done this and that? No. Like, and then you just want to self-defeat before you even do it.
Yeah. I have that problem myself.
Yeah.
Like, before I even start a project, I'm already telling you, like, fuck, you know, I'm not going to succeed. But that's the bad part, guys. Now, this is Advice Corner. All right, so what's some advice that you can give to upcoming artists? You know, like, right now you're, like, in the middle. You're not really up, like, upcoming. You are coming up, but you're not that, you know, like, starting out. So, like, what's some advice that you can give out to those people that are, you know, just starting or want to start?
This is going to come like a hard, like, you know, people are not going to like this one, but get some money. All right. Get some money. Work really, really hard. It's okay if you have to work for a year and save.
Yeah.
Money moves things. If it weren't for money, I wouldn't have a studio to work in. If it weren't for money, I wouldn't have the speakers to make the good shit that I do. Yeah. I wouldn't have the, you know, oh, and get some plugins for your dog. Get some plugins. Money makes the shit move. You can start off with nothing.
It's plugins,
you know?
What are plugins?
Plugins is just like computer programs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But you don't need a lot. You really don't need a lot. Uh-huh. If I had $1,000, I remember I started my first studio with $1,500. I bought the mic, I bought my speakers and my MIDI and my fucking computer, and that was it. And I had a little PC piece of shit.
Uh-huh.
$1,500. That's all you need. But don't think that you're going to fucking do it without, like, hustling. It's going to take a lot of work.
Yeah.
In other words, invest in yourself. which I think has a better context. I mean, invest in yourself, and at the end of the day, do you. You know, don't try to fit into to a genre. Don't try to be a. You know what I mean? Don't try to imitate anything. Just do you. If it's good, it'll be good. You know what I mean? If it's not so good, then work at it. You can work at it. Broken Spanish to me is a good song, but don't get me wrong. It's not our best work. And, you know, it's going to take hard work. And we know this. There's people that didn't blow up until they were old. I mean, look at 2 Chainz. He was Titty Boy for how long? You know what I mean? He didn't blow up until he was like 35. You know, J. Cole didn't blow up until he was in his 30s. You know what I mean? It takes work. Yeah. So don't get discouraged is what I would say. Invest in yourself and just do you at the end of the day.
Yeah, and on that note, I got like a shit ton of advice that I can share, but you know, we'll just keep it as short as possible. Learn about, if you want to just be a hobby musician, okay, then that's okay. You know, you do that. Don't even worry about the marketing aspect of it. But remember that if you want to do music for a living, at some point, you're going to have to make some money from it. Yeah. You know, and I think a lot of artists, it's my art. It shouldn't be, you know, commercialized. It's like, all right, you're not really living in the real world right now, dude. Like, you have to actually make the product that's really good and connects to people. But at the end of the day, you got to move it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So learn about that shit. Read books, you know, podcasts. Watch the greats. Learn from them. And most of all, work really hard. That's it. Just work fucking hard. And if you catch yourself 1 hour of the day just being a dumbass scrolling through memes, you know, check yourself. That's it.
Okay. So, I mean, you guys came to promote your new album. So, let's talk a little bit about it, right?
A little bit about it.
Yeah, whatever. So I see, man. Mix up my words again.
Está todo confundido.
Yeah. So, how about you tell us the name of it and the overall topics that you hit, you know?
So, it's Before It's Too Late. And the title kind of, we had the title before we even had a song, you know, and, you know, we wanted to put this out literally before it's too late, before we're fucking in our mid 30s and we're like, hey, we should put out an album, you know, like nobody wants to hear your ass. You know what I mean? So we're putting this out.
doesn't that go against what you just said about J. Cole right there?
Well, it's all about the quality of the music. You know what I mean? True. His shit's dope. He's I'm not the biggest fan, but it's better than that little whatever. You know what I mean?
Yachty.
Yeah. I actually like Lil Boat. Lil Boat's 21, tight.
21.
Exactly. Yeah, man, it's Before It's Too Late. It's 7 tracks. It's our heart and soul. We recorded and we've tweaked and we turned this on, turned that off, took this on, took that off. And I mean, honestly, we're still not satisfied with it. We're still like, oh, that word can change or this can change. But we've been working on it for a solid, what, 6-7 months now. So we're like, we have to put the shit out. Otherwise, we're never going to get past it. And it's, don't get me wrong, it's, I feel confident putting out the material. And in no way am I saying that it's not our best foot forward. But yeah, man, Before It's Too Late, 7 tracks, drops October 26th. Our very first EP. One of many. I mean, we have so many songs already. Ever since we stamped it, the entire time we're making the album, we weren't cooking. We were coming in here and we're trying to finish the album. So we're re-recording verses, we're making alterations to the lyrics, and so the whole 6-7 months we haven't made anything. So as soon as we stamped it, the day we stamped it and uploaded it to TuneCore, we've been cooking nonstop, and we already have more than an EP just cooked from the day we stamped it, because wow, all that creativity that we've been bottling up just fucking came oozing out of all three of us, and it's great. I mean, honestly, if we could, I would like to scrap Before It's Too Late and fucking start putting out this new stuff, because to me it sounds even better.
Wow.
But it's probably because I've listened to Before It's Too Late like 50,000 times already.
Yeah. That's the problem. Once you listen to your own shit over and over and over, starts losing that spark, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, to yourself.
But yeah.
Also, it plays like you want to better, you want to make that, your next thing better than the last.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you got any, like, what are some of the topics that you hit, you know?
So, we start off kind of introducing ourselves with the first song called Dolores. We introduce ourselves as MCs, and we stick to that. We kind of just come out with bars, and it's a quick little song, no hook. It's just fucking dólares, you know what I mean? We just say that, and it's just kind of the introduction.
And then we touched on some pretty dark topics, just kind of the things that we were exposed to growing up in the hood. You know, our experiences as young men, you know, as young Latino men, the things that we have to deal with on a daily basis, in this modern world where, you know, you're not going to get the most respect from people because of your ethnicity, the color of your skin, this and that, all that bullshit. But you know, that's kind of, we have a song labeled, Appropriation, you know what I mean? Where we talk about that exact thing, and it's a pretty dark album, to be honest. But then we line it up with a couple songs about girls, you know what I mean? you have to, you know. Yeah. As you know, we have a song called Broken where we go through, you know, our struggles with relationships, and then we have a song called Monogamy, which is the opposite, you know, where we actually, you know, where we find,
yeah, yeah,
find what we're looking for. So
yeah, yeah.
It's a mixed bag, but I think it's a great project.
Yeah, I think we wanted to touch on some stuff that was like true to us, but then also I feel like the Mexican American story hasn't been told enough, or it hasn't been told by people like us that grew up here. Like, we're not of any world, you know. I'm too fucking American to kick it with some of the Mexican fools, you know, and I'm too fucking Mexican to just go and kick it with some American fools. Yeah. Like, I'm like California, bro. Like, that's it. Like, the only people who really relate is like people from fucking California, or
yeah,
maybe in Texas. I don't know. I've been out there yet. But at the end of the day, we wanted to tell a story that hasn't really been told, our story, and give you guys insight into, like, kind of, you know, the South Bay, man. The, you know, the struggles of the working class. Here's something that sinks to you, or at least resonates with who you are too. Like, you know, every working class people, you know.
It's, you know, it goes back to the line that I say, is we say what we mean and we mean what we say. Uh-huh. We rap about what we know, and it's just our experiences, dude. And, you know, we're not trying to paint this false picture. We're not trying to create a facade. Like, we're just rapping about what we know, and that's what a true MC does. You know what I mean? He raps about his experiences in his life. I mean, you listen to Illmatic from Nas. That whole album, he's just explaining his life. He's introducing himself to everyone. I mean, it just so happens he had some fucking great production on it, and it's probably the best hip-hop album of all time. But that's what he's doing. He's just rapping about what he knows, his struggles, his personal struggles, and he's trying to paint a picture of who he is. And that's what we do, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing because it's not so much the individual, it's all three of us. So we're kind of putting first-generation Latinos on our back, which is a huge statement, I know, but that's kind of the role that I feel that we're taking. I have two younger siblings. They both listen to it, you know, and they like the little Yachty and the fucking, what's the other guy? That fucking
21.
Yeah, they like all that shit. They like the little pumps and all that. And I don't knock them for it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As long as he knows that music's gonna fade away in a couple years, and it's not gonna stick around. You're not gonna be bumping that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he knows that, and they know that. And to me, them listening to our songs, and he'll text me like, "Hey, bro, this line is sick as fuck." And I'm like, all right, like, we're doing something right, you know? Because
yeah,
I feel like we're, like you said, nobody's said our story before. There's no first generation Latinos. I mean, you have Latino artists, but they're trying to fit into a genre. And no disrespect to them, they're fucking great. I love it. But we're really shining some light on something that has never really been talked about. And it's, I mean, it's, fuck, dude, growing up in Wilmington, I mean, you know, you live in Wilmington.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You go anywhere else, is it like it? You know what I mean? There's nothing like
that.
It's
not really, no.
It's such a tight-knit community of working-class Latinos, you know what I mean? The average fucking, the average household income is not, I think it's like 50, 60K, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the poor got more, but yeah, average, you said average,
yeah.
You're right.
So it's like, you know, our parents came here, we never had... You know, we would take vacations every now and then, go camping or some shit like that. But it's not the traditional, you know.
Let's go fishing.
Yeah,
let's go on our boat.
You know what I mean? Nah, my fucking dad was always working. You know what I mean? My mom was always fucking working. My dad was home. He was getting faded with my uncles and then passing out. You know what I mean? Because of his fucking long-ass day at work.
Yeah.
So it's like being exposed to that, seeing that. It's like, okay, am I supposed to do the same thing? Like, no, this motherfucker came here so that we can not do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like we're just trying to shine a little bit of light on that. And at the same time, it's a dark topic because, you know, people don't really want to hear about that. But I think people need to, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, man, I don't know. I think we should leave it at that message, you know, telling people what you're all about right there. Kind of explains it, you know? So why don't you tell the people where they could find you, where, you know, the Instagram, the where they could get your EP, your next show. Let them know.
It's at justxus310 across the board, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, SoundCloud, everything. The only reason there's an X in there is because of legal reasons. You know, if we do blow up, which, you know, is our goal.
When, not if.
Yeah,
it's
I guess. When we blow up, we don't want any fucking legal disputes. So it's justxus310 across the board. The album is available for pre-order on iTunes. You can listen to it on all digital streaming services. We're going to print a couple hard copies at justxus310 for all information regarding our EP and all of our upcoming gigs. Synchronicity, November 5th. It's going to be lit. Don't miss out. You know, we're going to do brand new material, our very first set, performing our new songs. And yeah, man.
I mean, I don't really got much else to add to that except, you know, thanks for having us. And then
not done, bro.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Remember?
Oh, man, this sounds like that's the end.
Yeah, Well, shit. This is, I just want to get you your plugs out.
Yeah.
Because usually people tune me out after the game, they tune me out because it's my plugs.
Got it.
So, you know.
Yeah, no, let's go to everything and follow just so you can at least hear when shit comes out. Don't look at it and then just leave the page. Just go and follow it. Comment. You know, we'll reply. We'll right back to you, you know, until we get like 100 fucking million followers. And I bet you I'd still be on there replying to fucking comments.
We just want people to know that we do this because it needs to be done. If we're not doing it, who's doing it? You know what I mean? Nobody's going to stand up for us. And we stick true to our phrase. There is no justice. There is literally just us. You can't depend on the system to provide. You can't depend on fucking. You can't even depend on cops to protect and serve. You know what I mean? Fucking, they harass all. It's a badge to harass. So you have to rely on each other, and that's what we need to do. We need to stay strong and be united. I mean, fuck, so much conflict in this world, and we choose to bicker and argue amongst ourselves. Like, no, we need to be united, and we need to all stand up for our rights. I mean, it's not fair that we get pulled over or we get stopped when we're walking down the street just because of the way we look. You know what I mean? Social injustice is our main thing, and I think we all need to support each other, and we all need to stick together. I mean, if without it, what the fuck? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you. But you know what? With that, I fuck it. Let's talk about this. All right. So about what you said about the badge, all right, you have a point. There are cops that are like harassing and shit, but there's other cops that aren't doing that shit. So I'm gonna have I went to like an event yesterday and I spoke to somebody from the Border Patrol, and I know a big topic right now that's the DACA shit, and she told me, yeah, like, it's fucked up that we're over here, this is our job, we have to apply the law, like we're not Border Patrol. Like, we're not immigration. We're Border Patrol. Like, I see people flipping us off, like, saying fuck you to us. But we're not. It's not our fault. We're not here to kick people out. We're looking to protect. Like, we're here looking for the terrorists, looking for the bombs. Because there's big, like, something big's going to happen. So we're here to prevent that, you know?
Yeah. And you know, obviously, it's not a blanket statement. You know, we know that there's good cops out there. I have friends. I have a friend that's a cop. You know what I mean? I know people are out there and you know they're doing their job, but it's just these notions that you know, from what we can see, from what's exposed to us, cops are abusing their power.
Yeah.
And it's a reality. I mean, it's been happening for, I mean, fuck, it's well documented how much it's happened and the consistency of it. So it's not like we're making it up and we're trying to hold on to this thing that you know, it's rare occasions. It's a real issue, you know? So I know there's people out there doing their job, but just like any job, there's people at McDonald's that are doing their job, and then there's a fucktard in the front that still asks you if you want fucking barbecue sauce after you already said you wanted barbecue sauce. You know what I mean? So it is what it is.
There's a guy telling you the ice cream machine is broken when it's not.
Liar. I have a slightly different point of view on that, and it's a little more deeper. I think it's not necessarily that the cops are abusing the power, in my opinion. I think it's that they see people of other races in different light. Like, you seen them, the dudes who shot up the place. What's the name? Dylan Roof, whatever. Dude, they drove homeboy through a Burger King, and they bought him a fucking burger.
What
kind of fucking horseshit? And the other dudes who are like, you know, Philando Castillo's like, yo, I got a gun. It's in my pocket.
Yeah.
And they capped him.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh, it's a black dude. Like, you know, like that attitude.
Yeah.
That is the big fucking elephant in the room. It's you have a different attitude towards people of color. And it's a deep-rooted thing here, and you know you can't fucking deny it. Yeah, you know it's a history of slavery and fucking oppression, and don't fucking act like it doesn't resonate through the generations. Because think about this: if you have a grandfather, my grandfather grew up a fucking poor, you know, miner. Like, why was he a poor miner? You know, there's people in Mexico who are very rich. Yeah. You know, it passes on. Same thing with like, you know, Black Americans here in the U.S., you had your fucking forefathers were, you know, not only enslaved, but then after that, they're fucking discriminated against. Like, how do you even build a business as a black man? Yeah. And after that, how are you going to pass on that, you know, the network, the fucking money to your kin? So to act like that shit isn't a fucking issue, to me, is the biggest fucking load of horseshit.
I think it's education, you know, like that's a big key. Like, if you want to pass down, like, your money or anything else, you gotta understand how the system works. Yeah. You gotta make sure you know how to work the system to your favor, you know?
And if these things aren't talked about, then how is it gonna, you know, how is it gonna be known? Yeah. Let it be known, you know what I mean? That's what we do. We shine the light on, and again, it's nothing that's fake. It's all our own experiences, you know what I mean? And we're shining a light on this shit. And it's, you know, we're not rapping about going to a party, getting drunk, and fucking, you know what I mean? Like, doing stupid shit. Which we do, don't get me wrong, and we can rap about that, but our message with Just Us is more than that. We're taking a stance. We're taking a political stance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We have an angle that we're working, and it's because we believe in it. We really do. We're motivated by it. It's evident in our daily fucking routines. We see it every day.
You can kind of say you're going back to the 90s days, right?
Yeah.
When the music had a message. It wasn't just a cool beat in the background. Somebody going,
yeah.
21. Like, it has no fucking message. It's just, it's telling me how much money you have.
Yeah.
You're counting 1, 2, 3, yeah. 4.
And
five,
don't get me
six,
wrong.
Zero.
Don't get me wrong. That shit's tight.
Yeah.
I bumped that shit.
It's cool, but
it's not
no message.
Yeah.
So,
okay. I'm going to listen to that when I'm, you know what I mean?
When you're having fun, when you want to have fun. You know, when you're partying, yeah, it's cool. It's cool to have in the background, but you want a better self, you know, you gotta have music that's gonna, you know, it has the same message that what you're trying to do, right?
Yeah, half short, twice strong.
There you go. So, you know, I think that was a positive message. We, you know, we talked about the cops, and that could have gone south right there, but we kind of fixed it at the end, and it kind of gives a picture of what you guys are all about. So, you know, this is one of my favorite parts besides talking to you guys. I love to play games. Like, I'm a fucking child at heart.
Let's do it.
And I love to play games. So the game that we play here today, to my listeners, it's not new, but to the people that just came to support them, hopefully you guys stick around because I'm pretty entertaining, I think. So yeah, so the game that we play is called Sevens. So how it works is, so you have 7 seconds to answer 7 questions. Each question is 7 points. The high score you could possibly get is 49. So the whole point of the whole game is, at the end of the year, my guest with the high score, I'm gonna send them something. Guys, I got rid of my last hat, so you know what, you guys are fucked. You guys don't get my hat, all right? Oh, inside, like, I didn't just fucking tell them off for any other reason, because I used to have a riddle at them, and the winner would get a hat, but since they're not fucking playing it, you guys are screwed. Now I had to give it to somebody from the event. So anyway, so now you got my guest with the high score is not gonna get a hat anymore. Or maybe, I'll think about it if they're good. Right, but they're gonna
give us a fucking hat, dude.
So I mean, I'm gonna give them a sticker, and hopefully that helps them out for a little bit, you know. So yeah, so they're gonna, but they're also gonna get a price. So far, Liz has a high score. I think it's 29. Anyways, even if it's not, that's the score you guys gotta beat. Okay, she's gonna get herself a big, nice fat head of myself. And she has a boutique, and she's gonna slap dresses on it and earrings and all that good stuff. You
perfect.
Know?
So now, yeah, we doing individuals or we doing
so,
it as a group?
Yeah, so I'm a individual. So whichever one of you gets the high score, that's the person that's gonna receive the prize.
Lit.
So I'm gonna give you the clues and pick a genre that you think I'm gonna be good at. All right, I already gave you the genres, but for the listeners, I'm gonna give them to you guys again. Okay. So I said it was 7 seconds each question, right?
Yeah.
All right. Cool. All right. So the genres are general, movies, TV shows, celebrities, music, sports, Broadway, food, animals, TV, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, and their corresponding music. stand-up, superheroes, movies, movies, actions, movie comedy, movie rom-com, movie, award winners, football, baseball, basketball, hockey. I'm not good with sports, all right? I like watching them, but I'm not good at memorizing them. So I'm going to give you a hint right there. But don't if you want to be hard-headed and pick one of those, that's on you, all right?
Go ahead. You go first.
Okay, so I had to pick a genre or whatever. You said animals, right?
Yeah, animals.
That one's always fun. Let's all right, do that.
Cool. Animals. So we're going to do best of two, all right?
All right.
So we're going to take turns. First you and then back to back, all right? And then okay. The one, we're going to keep the high score.
Got it.
All right, so we're going to start. One, two, three. It's a version of a frog.
Toad.
It's Blank Lake. It's a type of dance, like a Broadway thing.
Swan.
It's a type of fish, but the name of it comes from like the pointy thing that it has on
swordfish.
His
face. Oh, it's a pig.
It swims. It has a shell. It's
turtle.
It's a wax.
It's a wax.
Well, we all are. We're dolphins and like if it has
mammals.
Like, it's nipples. A dog with like furry stuff, like curly. It's like supposed to be
poodle.
Dang, I think you got the high score.
Bro.
20. Nah. Jeez. Short some points, but. All right, so. Jason. All right, who's next? All right,
I'm going to do.
Can I give me.
I'm going to do superheroes for 5,000, please.
Woo, good luck with this one.
Is it hard?
Who's giving you the clues?
Son of a bitch.
There you go. So you
said sports was your weak suit.
Well, I'm Batman. Where's Batman from? What city?
Gotham.
Who's his butler?
Fucking, what the fuck? How do I not know that? Alfred, yeah, what the fuck? I don't know how I blanked out.
They made a movie, Batman versus
Superman.
Thor's brother.
Ragnar.
Oh.
No, wait, what? That's the movie.
Where's Thor from?
I have no fucking idea. Bad category. No clue.
Where does Batman throw all the bad guys? What?
Arkham Asylum.
Well, the not your ego, but your
what?
Not your ego, but your all right, your alter ego.
Alter ego.
I thought it was a good clue. I guess not. All right, 15.
Trash.
All right. Hey, I think I did pretty well on this one.
Yeah, I'm a DC guy, dude. I don't like Marvel. That shit's trash. Well,
I can't help who.
Except for X-Men. I like X-Men.
All right, so this is round two. This is where you did redeem yourself.
Oh wait, so he's
no, you're not. No, oh, okay, right. Right. Either you beat your high score or you keep 20. Right. Let me write that down okay. Before I forget.
So there was other genres in there that I don't remember.
All right, so general movies, TV show, celebrities,
movies.
All right. The one the slipper.
Loki. What was that?
The slipper. The
Cinderella.
That's it. He's the Blue Man. It's the highest grossing movie up to like
Avatar.
Woo! Halloween. Think Halloween. Woo.
Ghostbusters.
No, Ghost. All right. What we just mentioned. You just said who's Loki's brother?
Thor.
When you to go fast, what do you need to do?
You
to run to like on the freeway. What do? Speed. Like
Blade Runner?
No, I said speed. All right. Adam Sandler was in this movie with what's her name? She's oh fuck yeah, I fucked up. This is Spartan.
300.
Yeah, all right.
D-Honey.
You didn't do good, but
hey, fuck.
13.
2 points. Sorry.
I'm gonna double down on the movies. Let's do it.
Movies. All right. Hopefully. All right. Let me find it. All right. Movies. All right. So high score is 20, guys. All right.
Trash. We gotta beat that.
You gotta beat that. He don't.
Okay, I gotta beat that.
Fuck. I shouldn't have picked this one. I don't know what it is. I can't give you a clue.
What do you mean?
I don't know what the.
Okay, give me a clue for the word. What's the word?
With Leonardo DiCaprio, he
Inception.
Puts him in the boat. No, in the boat. The ship.
Lost.
What's it called? The Nero comes in this movie. Fuck.
Casino.
Yeah. Blake Lightning. It's a movie with John Travolta.
Dance. What's a fucking dance movie?
That's it. With the dinosaurs. With the movie with the dinosaurs. Any of them.
Jurassic Park.
Yeah. with what's his name? He got in trouble with the law about talking about Jewish people.
Mel Gibson.
Blank Malkop.
Yeah, Paul Bart Malkop.
Yeah, we got four. The first one was Coyote Ugly. I have no idea.
Oh, you could have said the bar. It's a bar.
I don't know what it's about. I don't even know anything about it.
It's about a bar.
It wouldn't help me then. Now I know what it is. Alright guys, well, that's it for the game. That's it for their part. But this comes the plugs. Here comes my plugs. Sorry, you can find me at Let Me Know Pod at Instagram and Facebook. If you have any questions, concerns, if you want to send me your song, as you could tell in the background, you're hearing their music and some of my own music. So just send it to letmeknowpod@gmail.com. If you want to be a guest, if you want to just send me a shout out, you can send it to me at letmeknowpod@gmail.com. Don't forget to leave me a comment or leave a comment and review on iTunes. So remember to subscribe, that way you know when my next show is coming up. So yeah, I think I'm gonna leave it at that, guys. But before I go, I just want to tell you guys, I appreciate all the support you're giving me. I see you guys in Puerto Rico, I see you guys in Egypt and in England and the United Kingdom. You think I didn't know, but I know, guys. I know you're listening to me out there. So share the word, spread the word, and tell them to listen to me. That way these guys could blow up all over the world.
Let them know, guys.
Let them know. All right, with that, guys, I'm going to let you go. But till next time, I love you. Bye.